Our scripture lesson today comes from Proverbs 31, starting in the 10th verse. Good old Proverbs, way back in there. As a matter of fact, for those of you who are trying to become biblical scholars, it's the last chapter in the great book of Proverbs. Written to us by the sayings of King Lemuel, starting in the 10th verse, lays out a beautiful picture of Mama. Proverbs chapter 31, starting in the 10th verse, the wife of noble character. Noble character. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good return, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings and plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff, which she grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Wow! May God add his blessings to this as we seek him out with prayer. Father, open our hearts and our minds and prepare us for this message, and let us hear it cleanly and clearly and be understanding and raising up today of the great institution of motherhood. In Jesus' name we thank you. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, once a year, I do a Mother's Day sermon. Once a year, I make proclamation. Because once a year, I have to do something I'm told not to do. I have to fill a sermon with the way I feel it should be, which can be kind of sentimental at times. So, this is Mother's Day sermon. I am preaching without apology and appreciation for the time-honored institution. Without the benefits, none of us would be here. You understand that, right? Amen. Ain't no mama, ain't no pa. And that would be a tragic world, wouldn't it? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. I thought so too. Every Mother's Day sermon I've run across starts with an explanation. Well, this one ain't getting that. Ministers are reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood because for some, motherhood is an accident and not always welcome. For some, biological motherhood wasn't possible. Some mothers weren't really all that nice. And for some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses on a primrose path. And he goes on to say, if I could take some liberties with poet Wilhelm Busch's words, I'd have to say, to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all these qualifications, why bother? Dad, all. I tell you why. Because for all the stumbling blocks, pitfalls, and broken dreams, for all the soiled diapers, soiled wallpaper, spoiled plans, we're talking about a beautiful ideal, a natural part of God's creative plan to bring love and caring to light. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. And so we're off. And it is time to celebrate the hardest job on the planet, motherhood. Say amen. Amen. And I'm caused to be reminded of this. I still love that saying. And I still live by that saying. Because see, I am dad. I am father. I am Paul Leatherman. I run the house. I am the lion that sits there and roars, and all bow down before me. Stop laughing. In my house, I am referred to as master and commander. Well, I say it to myself in the mirror. And I'm reminded that I'm really nothing. In the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the greatest line of that entire movie is when she is breaking down because she wants to get out and get in a part of life, and the dad won't let her. And mama's sitting on the bed with her daughter crying against her. And she says, "There, there. It'll be okay." And she says, "But mom, you know, dad's all, the man is the head of the house. And he says everything." And she says, "But Tula," she says, "the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And she can turn the head any way she wants." Say amen.
Amen.
And man, let me give you a piece of advice. Legally, you are the head of the household. Just as a pedestrian has every right to cross traffic. But I would caution you not to exercise that authority too loosely. I've often heard that said. Yeah, dad's the head of the household when mama says he could. So I came up with what not to buy your wife. Because when a man usually shops on Mother's Day, he measures it up and then messes it up. I'm not necessarily a veteran. I've been married now for 16 years. And I'm right? 16. I got it right. Yay me. Now, I'm not sure what to buy, but I will pass you on some of the things you don't buy. Number one, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires utility is seen as utilitarian. You come in the house with a brand new mixer, you're liable to have a shape of it on your head. Number two, don't buy clothing that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right, and your wife will be offended the other 6,999 times. Do I look like a size 6? And she'll still say, "Or that's too small, that doesn't cut it either. Or I haven't worn a size 8 in 20 years. I don't even know what them sizes are." Don't buy clothes. Take her to buy them. Sit on the chair and hold her purse. And look at all the other men sitting there holding their purses. And say to those men, "Mother's Day." "Yes, it is." "Okay, we're okay, right?" "Right." And when you get outside, you're a man. Even though you held a purse. Avoid things useful. Don't buy a new silver polish saying, "Honey, this will make your work less." Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. We covered that earlier. She'll perceive a 6-month membership to the local gym as an affront, and you are in big trouble, mister. Don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you cannot afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she does not want. I have to go, when I get jewelry, very specifically with her, "Pick it out, honey. I don't even want to see the price." Oh my golly, that's a whole tractor right there on her ear. And guys, do not fall into the traditional trap of buying her frilly, lacy under things. That is bad, bad, bad. And finally, don't spend too much. Because she'll say, "How do you think we're going to afford that?" And she'll ask, but don't spend too little. Because she won't say anything, but she'll think, "Is that all that I'm worth?" And the sermon title is, "What's It Worth?" But seriously, too many things in this day and age are saying that being a mother is old-fashioned. They don't want moms anymore. They want a chauffeur. They want a limousine driver, an at-call cook. They want someone who stands in the background and does nothing and receives no adulation. And you better figure out a way to support everything. Because in this day and age, walking around saying, "Hey, because I could stay at home, I did, and raise my children, is considered foul. I have nothing against women who went and got educations and they're out working in the workforce, and that's wonderful and great. But we will not let the institution of motherhood slip away from us, because without it, we do not grow ever. And God ordained it when He said, "So shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become as what?
One."
One. One. I love motherhood. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'll let you think about that one for a second. I wasn't too sure how to take motherhood when I became a father, because suddenly my wife didn't want me no more. I would come in the house and there'd be babies and I'm excited. And I still come home now ready to have the conversation and my wife is in tears. And I'm like, oh my golly, what happened? And she's watching baby videos. And all I can do is sit down. And yet the woman who saw us as we needed to be are the women who shaped us. Washington Irving said, "The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation. A mother's love still lives on." And I got news for you. Just because you may not necessarily be biologically connected to someone you're shaping, your mama. That's it. I got plenty of mamas. I got half a dozen or a dozen of them in this church. And they have no problems with giving me a little love when I need it. And they have no problems with giving me a little correction when I need it. Sometimes I think I get more correction than I do love, because I'm such an angel. But we celebrate the women today. We celebrate mama. We go back to that scripture written by King Lemuel. And it is a powerful scripture. And do you know that that scripture is hardly ever used at Mother's Day? Because some figure it to be too forceful. But he starts it off, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Worth far more. My grandmother Leatherman, greatest woman that ever walked the face of the planet in my eyes. She loved her grandchildren. She loved her children. We had to walk by her house every day when we got off the bus. And we knew what was waiting on us. Peanut butter crackers and coffee. Because my grandma liked coffee. And at 7 years old, she'd give us a little thimble full of coffee with cream and sugar and peanut butter crackers and wind us up and send us on up to the house. I have since learned why grandparents do that. Because my parents do it to my children. And I'll get them for that one day. But she affected us. She infected us. I've told the story 1,000 times. This is 1,001. My grandmother, until she had her stroke, was the communion bread maker at Harmony Church of the Brethren. And when we had communion on bread and cup, at the end of the service, off to the side of that little silver tray was some thin layers of bread for her grandchildren. And there was 8 of us. And her grandchildren came up and she gave them each a little piece. And the other children whom she loved in church came up and they got a little piece. And everybody loved Nanny Leatherman. And we've all been affected by that. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has all confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. A man that marries a woman who is strong and ready to lead gains more than he can possibly imagine. Oh, at times I'm sure it's like, what was I thinking? But a woman who loves and puts her family ahead of everybody else produces some of the greatest things in the world. There was a recent polling data set up to try to identify the 12 greatest women in the world. And they asked Ruth Bell Graham this question. And Ruth Bell Graham's question was powerful. She says, "The greatest women in this world are women you ain't never heard of. You ain't never heard of. Mama." David Lloyd George was the First Earl Lloyd George of Dwyfer. He was born January 17, 1863, and he died in March of 1945. He was considered the greatest British politician and statesman from Welsh upbringing. And what's important to note about that is he was brought up as a Welsh speaker. And I don't know if any of you all have ever been to England or you know anybody Welsh. I've had the opportunity to go to England, and I know somebody that's Welsh. And if they start talking in Welsh, you don't know what they're saying. That is a language that has no dictionary. And you just stand there and do like I do. Wait for my name or the word food. And he was brought up as a Welsh speaker. And he is so far today the only British Prime Minister to have been Welsh and spoke English as a second language. He was a great leader on the impact. And thanks to his pre-war introduction, a British social welfare system, he grew welfare, the care for orphans. He took the hatred away from the workhouses. He destroyed workhouses. And he brought forth the care and love for the poor. He was voted third greatest British Prime Minister of the 20th century. And in 2002 was named among the 100 greatest Britons ever following a United Kingdom-wide vote. He was a powerful, humble, loving man. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales carrying a tiny baby in her arms. See, the father had died from pneumonia, and she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard and never made her destination. And when it was over and they found her body searching through a mound of snow, they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it around her baby, dug a hole in the snow, and put her body over top of it, and gave her life for her child, proving the depths of the love of a mother. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, became Prime Minister of England. So what's it worth, really? It's a hard life. I look at what my wife does, and I don't want any parts of it. I remember when we had the babies. I could handle every part except when the supper that they had just eaten came back up for second view. I'd leave the room. She handled it, not me. I grew up a farm boy. Cows did horrible things to me. I saw horrible things. I saw that, and I got to leave the room. Nothing else bothered me, but she handled it. There's an old story that says Grandma, on a winter's day, milked the cows, fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove the kids to school, did the washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, did some chores, cooked the dish of home-fried dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood, lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen in, cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked the cake, then exclaimed, "For goodness sake," when the calves ran out the pen, chased them all right back in again, gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked the supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all the dishes, fed the cat and sprinkled clothes and mended a basket full of hose, and then opened the organ and began to play "When You Come to the End of a Perfect Day." That's a mama. What's it worth? You know, you try to put a value on that. I've been watching all the ads hit the television set. And you can buy mother a new car for pennies on the dollar today because it's Mother's Day. You can come in and drive out with a brand new car. And I'll bet you there's a lot of people going, "Man, I really messed up this year. Let me go buy my wife a brand new car. I didn't mess up that bad. Did I? I'm still trying to, well, I've got to buy. I didn't put the tree on top of the truck." We have to get through that establishment. That was not my fault this time. Now think about that. Or how about this one? Make sure that your mother knows that it's Mother's Day. Show her how much you love her by buying a giant panda bear from Build-A-Bear. You can be yours for only X amount of dollars. Or the latest one, Sherry's Berries. That is the most ridiculous commercial to ever come across the airwaves. Because it almost got me. Sherry's Berries. You can buy 6 strawberries covered in chocolate syrup for $50. What in the world is that? So we got to figure out a way to put a worth on Mama for Mother's Day, right? Well, I know how much the women in my life are worth. So I need some help, Buck, Wally, and Toddy. I want you, I'm going to get a couple, because I'm going to hand out. You guys start back there at Mama's row, and here, figure it out, and give each of the women in here one of those in that jar, one down there. Did you get your penny?
Yes.
Oh, here's another one. That's worth. That's my 2 cents. Make sure all the women get a penny. And when you give it to them, say, "That's what you were." Now you've got to be wondering, has Paul signed his own death warrant? Make sure. Now give it to him. Say, "Hey, this is what you're worth." Well, I took care of my money.
I'll take 2.
All right, we got them all? Look at all these women looking at me. Boy, they look like when we get up to leave this church, we're going to put a stain on him, the top jaw won't take off. All right, to all the women in this church, that is your worth to me. Well, apparently you don't understand what I've just given you. I've just given you an example of Jesus' teaching. I gave you the least. And Jesus said what? The least will become the greatest. Oh, that don't mean nothing, Paul. You gave me a penny. Well, let me explain to you what you hold in your hand that is a symbol of my undying love and respect for the institution of motherhood and for the women in this church. The 1943 copper alloy penny is one of the most enigmatic coins in American numismatics, and it is the most valuable Lincoln penny of all. You see, just 40 of the coins were probably created by accident on copper alloy 1 cent blanks left in the presses during the wartime years when penny were converted to steel are known to exist. Just 40 of them. None of them are, I checked. The first 1943 copper cent was sold in 1958 for more than $40,000. In 1996, another one went for a whopping $82,500, but those pale in comparison that in 2007, a dealer in New Jersey sold his 1943 penny for $1.7 million. Probably not enough to convince you yet as to what I want you to understand. One of the rarest pennies cost a Beverly Hills man at an auction back in 2011, Kevin Lipton shelled out $2,585,000 for what they call a birch penny, made in 1792, named after its engraver, which features a woman on it with flowing hair as the symbol of strength for a new nation. But what you hold in your hand has such value to man today that a single penny is worth $2.5 billion. You see, what you may not know that I know is that when they sent the rover to Mars, they put a single regular old penny on the front end of that rover and sent it to Mars for study. Because, and I quote, "The strongest point in our currency is the single lowly penny." The thing most valuable to our research on Mars is the penny. And they built it into the Mars rover, and it cost $2.5 billion to get it on another planet. And today they monitor it for its characteristics, for the changes, for the way dust affects it. The strongest, most powerful thing they could use on another planet is the lowliest penny. And so how great is the worth of that single penny? Well, obviously, it's worth far more than we can measure. And if it's worth that much, the women that hold the penny, that to some might say is the lowest station on this earth, are the greatest. And so to me, each and every woman in here is the greatest woman I have ever seen in my life. And so, yeah, you're each worth a penny to me. Say amen.
Amen.
You see? I'm not stupid. Well, sometimes I am. How much is it worth? If the world thinks that the least form is worth that much, how much is a mother worth? John chapter 19 lays out what a mother is worth. And you turn to it because you need to hear these words. They get forgotten quite often. But in John chapter 19, in the 25th verse, as he hung there dying, Jesus Christ looked down. And in the 25th verse, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Read verse 26. Follow along. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple of whom he loved, which is John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus Christ, in his last moments on earth, explained to us for the rest of time until he comes back that the woman that we would call mother, mama, ma, ma, whatever, may once seem as the lowest form, is the greatest in his mind, that he should have her taken care of as he went back home to his father. She may have been only worth a penny in that society, but in today's world, she's worth far more than we could ever measure. In the Christian mindset, in the Proverbs, what kind of a noble woman has that character? She is worth more than rubies. Melba Montgomery laid out these words. She said, "My little boy came into the kitchen this evening while I was fixing supper. And he handed me a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping my hands on my apron, I read it. And this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. And for going to the store, 50 cents. And for playing with little brother when you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total load, $14.75. Well, I looked at it as I'm standing there expectantly, and 1,000 memories flashed through my mind. So I picked up the pen and, turning the paper over, this is what I wrote back to him. For 9 months I carried you growing inside of me, no charge. For the nights I've sat up with you, doctored you, and prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears and the cost through the years, there's no charge. And when you add it all up, the full cost of my love comes to no charge. For the night's filled with dread and the worries yet ahead, no charge. For the advice and knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. For the toys, food, and clothes, and for wiping your nose, there's no charge, my son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, he finished reading, and he had great big tears in his old eyes. He looked up at me and he said, "Mama, I sure do love you." And he took a pen and in great big letters, he wrote, "Paid in full." When you add it all up, the cost of real love is no charge. When asked what it's worth, I want you to hold up that penny and remember, the least is the greatest, and I far surpass the greatest because of who I am in someone's eyes. A little boy forgot his Sunday school lines in Sunday school, forgot his presentation. We've all seen that. The little youngsters come up here and they stand and mama and everybody's sitting there and they're supposed to say, and mama prompts them. And she gestured and formed the word silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory was blank. And finally, she leaned forward and whispered to Q, "I am the light of the world." The child beamed with great feeling, and a loud, clear voice said, "My mother is the great light of the world." I wanted to fit this in now. This is a special request. When we consecrated baby Maddox and we brought him in, his mother had one request. She didn't say when, so because I'm in charge, I do it when I want to do it. But she wanted us, for her baby, to sing these simple words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. He loved us enough to make sure we understood in his last moments who Mama was. And so as the days roll on, as this moment rolls on, I want you to walk up to your mama and say, "Mom, you're worth a penny to me. And I love you so much." And if she's not here and you have to explain it to her, do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's join our hearts together. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for giving us so many things. We thank you for allowing us a dedication of a baby and for being brought together and being reminded of what the greatest institution was, motherhood. Let us not forget it, not just today, but every day. Be reminded of what mom really is. Not was, is. We thank you, Father, for giving that to us. And we thank you for the lessons taught to us by Jesus Christ concerning this. I pray a full blessing upon the women today and everywhere gathered that they would know what they are truly worth, more than mankind can measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "I took a piece of plastic clay," said a mother one day, "and idly fashioned it one day. As my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it, it still bore. As I pressed my fingers on it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded it with my power and art, a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. As we come to the final hymn, if you have that extra need for prayer, the bench is open. And again, I pray the blessings of heaven upon all y'all women today, because all of you to me are mama, and you're all worth a penny to me. God bless you.